Shalom. Hello.
We continue to read from the book The Jewish Choice, Unity or Anti-Semitism. We're reading from chapter 8. You can send questions to Kab.tv or Sviva Tova. Selected questions will be asked during the lesson. The Jewish Choice, Unity or Anti-Semitism.
We have to see in everything that's going on in front of us, in the book, and in general in our world today, that things repeated themselves so quickly, and the intensity that it comes in, that all these things, they come in order to awaken us to come to the correction of creation. And as we learn from Bala Sulam, there are two forces that help her reach the goal: the pushing and the pulling forces. One from behind and one from ahead. Because we have to advance, and we're the will to receive, and we have nothing besides the will to receive. Just a little mind next to it in order to distinguish what's going on. Are we being pushed or pulled? And to keep our mind above the heart, above what we feel, which is called faith above reason, so that we won't work with our mind according to what we feel, but above that. To direct what we feel, our emotions, our feelings, to a state that is ever more corrected. And so, it's good that we're afraid. It's good that we're yearning for the good, for pleasure. All things are good if we direct them correctly toward the attainment of the corrected state. And therefore, not to suppress any emotion that awakens in us from reading the book or from hearing about what's happening in the world, that soon we're going to start hearing how everything is closing around Jews, around Israel, around this entire matter, more and more. And we simply have to understand how all these forces are not bad. They're not bad. They're only goal-oriented. And the more we identify with their goal, the more we'll see them as aiding forces that aid us in attaining the exalted goal. That all this is in order for us to reach a connection between us, and in the connection between us, connection with the Creator being the goal. So, it's good for everyone to become integrated and to become included in what we're talking about, reading about, and what we'll soon start hearing on the news that's happening around the entire matter of Israel, Jews, anti-Semitism, and in general, that all these things, they only show us the need for our connection with the Creator, for the connection between us and with the Creator. So let's go to the book.
Chapter 8, The Peculiar Case of Italy. From among all of Europe's Jewish communities, one community stands out in particular, Italian Jewry. Despite Italy's alliance with Nazi Germany, there was very little anti-Semitism in Italy before or during the war. Italy consistently refused to send Italian Jews to death camps in Eastern Europe, and the Italian Jews that did perish in the Holocaust perished at the hands of Nazi Germany after it conquered northern and central Italy in 1943. Why was there so little anti-Semitism in Italy? On the surface, Italian Jewry went through very similar processes that the rest of European Jewry experienced. Like the Jews in the rest of Europe, they assimilated, intermarried with non-Jews, and some became Zionists, and some remained Orthodox. Additionally, as in other countries where Jews were emancipated, many became influential in Italian politics and economy. Still, unlike any other country in Europe where there was significant Jewish population, their integration into the general society in Italy did not intensify Jew hatred. However, when you examine the similarities and dissimilarities between Italian Jewry and the rest of the sizable Jewish communities in Europe, it is hard to ignore one conspicuous difference. Despite their disagreements and different levels of Jewish observance, by and large, the various factions of Italian Jewry did not disparage or deride one another. This was markedly different from German Jewry, Austrian Jewry, Russian Jewry, or Polish Jewry, where slander, libel, and mutual banning of one faction of the Jewish community against another were the norm.
Questions? About what we read,
yeah. If in Italy there was sense of unity, but still we're talking about Jews. So how come in Italy they suffered less and elsewhere they suffered more?
We don't know why. We're not studying why right now. We're studying about the case itself. Because there was some kind of connection, or let's say tolerance, between all the Jewish factions. Therefore, we want to say that there, the hate for the Jews was not that great as in other places, where they were really opposed to one another.
Heading, benign fascism and mild anti-Semitism. Italian fascism was largely benign. According to British historian Jeremy Black, the incoherent diversity of Italian fascism ensured an extremely varied response to Jews, both Italian and foreign. It was acceptable in Italy in 1938 to ban Jewish teachers from teaching and to forbid marriage between Jews and non-Jews. However, compared to Germany and Austria, there was less anti-Semitic feeling among the population and less support for deportation and mass murder. Also, Italian fascism sought a stronger state. There was not the commitment to race seen with Germany. Indeed, Italy and Italian occupied territories such as Dalmatia, Nice, and parts of Greece were safer for Jews than other German allied states, for example, Vichy, France, and Croatia, and as a result, many Jews took refuge there. וכתוצאה מכך, יהודים רבים חיפשו שם מקלט. ואכן, האנטישמיות המתונה. Indeed, the mild anti-Semitism that Italy implemented in its occupied territories made them safe havens for Jews fleeing German-occupied territories. Italian forces on the Eastern Front did not match the Germans in the habitual, deliberate brutality of their treatment of Jews, but did nothing to stop it. Says Black. At the same time, issues of control and status vis-a-vis Germany played a role in the unwillingness to deport Jews from the Balkans, while notably in response to Croat atrocities, the Italians eventually devoted special attention to the rescue of the Jews. In fact, quote, quite a number of French Jews found refuge in the Italian-occupied zone of southeast France. The Italian authorities were aware of the arrival and location of Jews, but not terribly interested. The Italians also refused to deport foreign Jews from Italy. The forced labor of Roman Jews was not lethal, and there were army and naval officers who remained hidden behind desks for years after
1938. בעבודה משרדית במשך שנים גם אחרי 1938. על פי נתוני מוזיאון ארצות הברית לזכר השואה,
according to the United
States
its alliance with Germany, the fascist regime responded equivocally to German demands, first to concentrate and then to deport Jews residing in Italian occupation zones in Yugoslavia, Greece, and France, to killing centers in the German-occupied Poland. Italian military authorities generally refused to participate in mass murder of Jews or to permit deportations from Italy or Italian-occupied territory. And the fascist leadership was both unable and unwilling to force the issue. Italian-occupied areas were therefore relatively safe for Jews. Between 1941 and 1943, thousands of Jews escaped from German-occupied territory to the Italian-occupied zones of France, Greece, and Yugoslavia. The Italian authorities even evacuated some 4,000 Jewish refugees to the Italian mainland, where they were kept in internment camps until the end of the war. In fact, the Italians were so uncooperative in response to Germany's demands to round up the Jews and transfer them to forced labor or extermination camps that Nazi propaganda minister Joseph Goebbels expressed in his journal his contempt for the Italians' treatment of Jews in Italian-occupied territories. In his words, quote, "The Italians are extremely lax in their treatment of Jews. They protect Italian Jews both in Tunis and in occupied France and won't permit their being drafted for work or compelled to wear the Star of David."
כותרת ענבי נהמה.
Heading Grapes of Solace. The Jeff and Toby Hare Oral History Archive contains numerous heart-wrenching testimonials of Jews from before, during, and after the Holocaust. But the story of Flory Yagoda, a Bosnian-born American Jewish singer and composer of Sephardic songs in Ladino, or Judeo-Espanol, is quite different. When we arrived to mainland Italy, she recalls, it was like arriving to the promised land. I mean it. And there were other refugee boats all over the place, people coming from all over the place to Italy. And the scene that I will never forget was Italian women dressed in black with big, big, big baskets of grapes, black grapes. And we were hungry. That was great. Anyway, all the refugees came to the piazza, and a couple of the humanitarian organizations had big tables full of clothes, and they took care of our daily needs of bread, but they couldn't find places for you to live. So I would go from house to house, from door to door, and see if we can find a place to stay. After walking for about 6 hours, I knock on the door, and a big, heavy-set lady, dressed up pretty, opens the door, and I explain to her my situation, that I need a room for just my mother and me, my mother and I. And she says, "Si, senora, come in. I have a room for you. Bring your mother." This was the start of a new life.
"Si, senora, ken gveret, ikansi. יש לי הדר בשבילך. אביא את אמא שלך. זו הייתה התהלה של חיים הדשים. כותרת, למרות הכל, שמירה על התודעה.
Heading, despite everything, maintaining Jewish group consciousness. In the book Paths of Emancipation, Pierre Birnbaum and Ira Katznelson explore various Jewish communities and their process of emancipation. In relation to Italian Jewry, they write, quote, "The question this chapter tries to answer concerns the uniqueness of this very ancient Jewish tribe and whether its emancipation has followed a different course from that of other Jewish communities in Europe." The chapter asks, to what degree and in what period is it legitimate to speak of the transformation of the Jews of Italy into Italians of the Jewish faith? Why has their political and economic role in the making of a unified Italy been so great? Why have they reacted in such a singular way to the great internal conflicts of modern Judaism, orthodoxy and reform, tradition and assimilation, Italian nationalism and Zionism? End quote. Chaim Weizmann, too, had for the Italian Jews the fascination of mysteries insofar as none of the motivations which justify the development of Zionism in other countries apply to the Italian case. So different from that of those people of the Mosaic persuasion whom Weizmann was accustomed to meeting in France and Germany, what baffled him was the fact that the Italian Jews were at one and the same time completely assimilated and yet so proud of their Judaism. Indeed, it is true that the emancipation of the Italian Jews has been in many respects similar to that of Jews elsewhere in Europe. Economic development, rapid assimilation to the Gentile society, renunciation of Jewish tradition through conversion and mixed marriages, adhesion to liberal and Marxist movements, write Birnbaum and Katznelson. Yet it is equally true that in the period between 1830 and 1870, the emancipation process assumed political, psychological, economic, and cultural characteristics unique in the contemporary history of European Jewry. As a result, the Italian Jewish community, despite its small size, developed a group consciousness. הקטן פיתחה תודעה קבוצתית. באופן דומה, בניגוד למה... Similarly, contrary to what was happening in France, where the Jews turned themselves in many cases into theoreticians of the secular Republican state, or in England, where the Jews as a collective remained politically passive, in Italy, and especially in Piedmont, the Jews operated as a politically conscious community. Also, Italian Jews were less drawn to disputes regarding assimilation. Many of them expressed their Judaism through family ties rather than religious particularism. The Italian Jews, continued the two researchers, like other Jews in the 19th century, had to face the great internal problems of their time, including assimilation, reform, anti-Semitism, Zionism, Marxism, and secularism. However, by and large, they did not take any of the trends to the extreme. Rather, traditional Italian Jews expressed their Judaism through family attachment that was often more a demonstration of elitism than of religious particularism.
‫מאשר של בדלנות דתית.
Even after Italian Jewry was somewhat influenced by the various trends just mentioned and opened separate institutions for their communities, in 1917 the Jewish institutions were reunited under a central roof, the Unione delle Comunità Israelitiche. A decision that put an end to the confusion. The Jewish press, too, tried its best to avoid internal confrontations. The only Jewish periodical, Il Vessillo Israelitico, was a banner to all winds without any clear ideological direction. The paper did write about such Jewish problems as mixed marriages, the decline of Jewish culture, and detachment from Jewish tradition, and the issues that Zionism presented. However, as a whole, the paper was chiefly preoccupied with avoiding polemics, particularly political ones. To be sure, thousands of Italian Jews perished in the Holocaust. On September 8, 1943, Italy submitted its unconditional surrender to the Allies. As a result, the Germans occupied northern and central Italy, as well as the Italian zones in Yugoslavia, Greece, and France. According to the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum, the German occupation of Italy radically altered the situation for the remaining 43,000 Italian Jews living in the northern half of the country. The Germans quickly established an SS and police apparatus, in part to deport the Italian Jews to Auschwitz-Birkenau. The Germans took great efforts to round up the Jews in Rome, Milan, Genoa, Florence, Trieste, and other major cities in northern Italy. Yet now, too, the Italians would not cooperate. As a result, these operations had limited success, due in part to advance warning given to the Jews by Italian authorities and the Vatican, and in part to the unwillingness of many non-Jewish Italians, including Sala police authorities, to participate in or facilitate the roundups. In all, concludes the museum report, the Germans deported 8,564 Jews from Italy, Italian-occupied France, and the islands of Rhodes and Kos, most of them to Auschwitz-Birkenau. 1,009 of them returned, and some 300 more died by shooting or in transit camps. As devastating as it was for the victims, compared to other Jewish communities under Nazi occupation, which were all but decimated, the roughly 15% of Italian Jewry that perished in the Holocaust hardly count as a success story for the Nazi killing machine. When reflecting on why the Germans failed, it is evident that the reluctance of the Italian people to contribute to the Nazi efforts was crucial in saving the Jewish community. The considerable hiatus between the image the Italians had of the Jews in general, who displayed divergence, and the image they held of the Italian Jews, who remained united, as Birnbaum and Katzenelson describe it, is clearly the reason why they treated Jews so much better than in other Nazi-occupied countries. As said in the beginning of the chapter, if we compare the Italian Jewry to the Jewish communities in countries such as Poland, Germany, or Austria, clearly the most striking difference between them and Italian Jewry is the commitment of the latter to stay a single political conscious community with group consciousness and an emphasis on family attachment above all differences.
עם תודעה קבוצתית ודגש על קשר משפחתי מעל לכל ההבדלים. עד כאן פרק 8.
שאלות.
Questions.
That's far chapter 8.
אם אנחנו לומדים ש...
If we learn that anti-Semitism is anti-Semitism is a law that comes to iron out the relationships to one another.
Anti-Semitism is pressure by the big broken kli on that part that in some way is already related to the purpose of creation. So according to the goal, they are as if in two opposite directions. On the one hand, those that went with Abraham that are directed toward the purpose of creation, and the rest of Babylon that is still directed only toward their ego. And the gap between the two is felt as anti-Semitism.
Here the author dedicates an entire chapter for a different attitude to the Jews of Italy.
Between them, yeah.
Compared to the rest. So for someone writing, reading from this, you know, comparing it, they might think they're more corrected or closer to something because of their relationships.
Well, it doesn't matter how, but facts are facts. There is something that this is how it was. You can find 1,000 different reasons. What do you actually want to say? It's clear that because they had a different attitude toward each other, and there you had all different forms, organizations, Jewish denominations, but still they treated each other with tolerance. They both had ties between them as a family and also as one big family, which was stronger than the separation, like it is in an ordinary family. In a family, I have supposed many people. And each of them is aimed at something else. But still, it's a family. There is something that ties them all together, and you as if keep them all together. You protect them all. This is how it was for them. And because love covers all crimes, this was somehow kept. Therefore, they were more protected by the upper force than others.
Can you say that what happened there played a certain role at a certain time? Right now it's not like that.
Of course, it always changes. Always. From one place to another, from one period to another.
It's according to the upper force in that time.
Of course. Yeah. Ilan.
יש מקום לראות כדוגמה את יהדות איטליה.
Can we see the Italian Jewry and strengthen it even additionally by the example of the Jews of Bukhara, Bukharian Jews? We see that the Holocaust did not harm them, and we see to this day the inner root, they have the connection even here in the group. Any new Bukharian that comes to the group is it's attached to like a magnet.
To our Bukharians.
Yeah, even new immigrants who come to Israel, they come, they check where Bukharians live, Shulchan Shapira, Kiryat Shalom. They arrange for themselves like an area. For many years, they would only marry internally.
True. But there it was a bit far from the Nazis and all those things, even though that they always lived inside a population that did not want to mix with them. and therefore they kept themselves. Yes, David.
Why do we take the Italian example? There were many countries with Jews at that time, everywhere in, you know, the same latitude as Italy and below, Morocco, other places. There was no anti-Semitism. Why Italy is an example for connection? What happened in the other states?
She was Germany's ally. Italy participated in the war and all those processes. Mussolini used to come to Germany to visit. Germans used to come to Italy. They could enter Italy freely. They, you can say there was no border, as though there was no border between these two countries. So what do you want?
I understand there was Nazi pressure, but anti-Semitism from within the people, the Italians, like in other countries, did not exist, as I understood.
I don't think that there wasn't, but not to the extent to which where they wanted to kill and destroy the Jews among them. There are many things about this. I don't want to get into it, but what do we need to extract from this? That, and it's a wonder that between all the different Jewish denominations in Italy, there was no hate, no mutual rejection. Somehow, they felt connected between them as a part of the same nation. And it really stood out compared with other places, and therefore this is the discernment that we take and talk about it. We say that this is why it happened in such a way. There are many other things. Italians themselves, even genetically, are very close to the Jewish people. There's a very small difference in the chromosomes, something. I'll always forget. I want to ask my daughter about it. But I don't know. We have these safe things that there are testimonies of people.
It seems geographically it appears differently. It looks like there's a central point in Europe, Germany, and like in a radius, the hate of people. And as you move further away from that, there's less hate.
But they're allies. They're Germany's allies. That they accepted everything Germany wanted. Besides that, they didn't have the inner force. Italy, Italians did not have the inner force to clean themselves of Jews, even though that they're meticulous Catholics. And you see?
No, I see that it happened in all other countries that were not close to Germany. I can't take Italy as an exception. Just because the anti-Semitism that was among the people around the Jews was lower than the other countries
they
that
were
far away from Germany.
They weren't far from Italy. What are you talking about? Germany conquered everything. Germany didn't conquer Italy because Italy made a treaty with Germany. There was nothing between them like you have now. Switzerland, something. Everything was open. Austria, it was all open. Please, calm down. Yeah?
It's hard to understand what is the lesson from this story. It sounds there is a certain upper calculation that says, here, Jews live in connection.
If you can deduce such conclusions, that's great. We can't. We're learning from how it is, from what we see, that there was something very special here, that Jews all over fought each other more than the Germans, hated each other more than they hated the Germans. If the Germans wanted to come together, they wanted to unite and come together. And with your Jewish neighbor, you didn't want to get close to him. Here in Italy, something else happened. Just see how different it is from the behavior of Jews in any other place. There was no hate. There was a feeling that they're a part of the same nation, of the same family. And therefore, we are not the only ones to point this, to mention this, to point this out. And it worked in such a way that both the Italians treated them this way, and the Nazis, I don't know, but their fate was completely different.
That's the part I'm trying to understand about their different fate. The connection between the cause and consequence that's hinted at here. Still, 15% perished, and you can ask on what resolution this calculation takes place. It's not clear.
I am familiar with people like you with the same attitude approach. What they lack is to be a bit more emotionally involved in these things. If you'll ever get into this and you'll feel what hate does and what can you do with love, maybe you'll speak differently. Otherwise, I can't argue with you.
I'm asking, I'm not arguing. I feel the material emotionally, what we're studying lately. I'm trying to understand the lesson. There's seemingly a lesson, a moral. It's not clear the love you're talking about.
You're not making, you don't see the difference between this and the relations that Jews had in other places, that they sold each other out, snitched on each other, chassid against these and these against those, and all different denominations and movements that really hated each other so much so that were the Germans to just tell them, come, let's unite, they'd run. So he's telling you that this is something that wasn't that way in Italy. In Italy, it was different. There was no hate between them.
So it's a different kind of assimilation. Because
it wasn't that much of an assimilation. Also among the Italians, the connection in the family is very strong, and therefore Jews also felt themselves as a family. I can't explain further. Shout. Get to know yourself a bit. Chaim, you have what to say. Why do I have to talk all the time?
There's no attempt to explain or provide, I don't know what, something spiritual or seemingly, but simply we're trying to point out certain facts. This whole thing is just one big circumstantial evidence. We are looking at the situation in the Jewish community, and we check the level of anti-Semitism from the non-Jewish community towards the Jewish community. And when you look into this, you see a certain consistency. There's no attempt to say what does it stem from other than the first chapter that speaks about the connection between the people of Israel and their role and their connection. Everything else is just observing history to check whether or not when we're connected we feel good, better, and when we're not, it feels bad. We can say there was real connection, but there was no hate, no infighting, and we see that correspondingly the hate towards Jews was lower. There's no attempt to explain why it's happening. That's it.
to the measure to which we hate each other, we invite much greater hate from the outside towards us, because, and it's true, when we hate each other, it's opposed to the purpose of creation, and therefore hate from the outside has to awaken in order to convince us to start coming together. This is how the forces of nature work, because otherwise it is impossible to bring this herd, the Jewish people and the entire world, to connection. It's impossible without the struggle, without the hate, because the revelation of the good and the bad has to become revealed down to the very last detail, and this is where you have to make the choice then. And therefore these forces of in favor and against will be there all the time, and from one day to the next you'll now feel it all around the world. We feel that there is some wave, some tsunami coming, and we're really on the very tip of the wave. You can see what's before it and what's behind it. And this is how we'll see the entire process. You'll feel it from one day to the next. You're at the peak of history, of current history.
There's also the story of the Jews in Bulgaria that were barely harmed. The king there kept them to pave roads and lay railroads. They didn't have to do it. And the question is, if there's data about those Jews there.
I don't know. You can go and investigate, but what for? All in all, we need this in order to give an explanation to such standing out phenomena, to somehow prove that our connection, being a part of the attainment of the goal, that it actually cancels all the decrees.
Maybe it's just another example like that. We have to check.
Okay. Look, these things are limitless. The main thing for us is to deduce some kind of conclusion. Yes, Gilad.
I wanted to emphasize it even more, because seemingly in Italy there should have been even more of a divide and a separation, because there's a community there that is there since the Second Temple. There should have been yet another stream that did not exist anywhere else, so seemingly there should have been even more of a separation, but in light of everything that was said,
I don't know. I'm not getting into this, because to check, examine this according to the nations, the rulers, the countries, we have to see more deeply in the forces, and then we won't be wrong or create some kind of history of our own. This doesn't interest me. For the sake of the explanation, what we have is enough. We only have to see the processes in the processes that we will start seeing in the world daily now. How do we add our explanation to it in the broadest, most convenient way, and to send it to the different networks in order to reach every person, regardless of who he is, so that our explanation will somehow be absorbed in mankind?
No. Who yeah.
Wanted to ask? Yes, Oi.
על מנת שנתחבר אנחנו מקבלים את הלחצים האלה.
We said that in order to connect we feel these pressures from the outside. I don't see today the groups that are trying to connect in Israel are changing something. How do you see this state, this the connection of the people of Israel, so we would not receive those pressures from the outside?
I welcome this pressure from the outside because I hear from the groups in the world and also the tens here that they're fed up with being in this state. What is a ten? What do we do in the ten? We don't know. We don't feel. We have no idea what to do. Now, you'll get a kind of kick in the butt, and you'll feel how the fear, the helplessness, these different pressures, how much they help. Guys, let's move on to the next part.
Let's go to